Hey folks, it's John Orlando, and before you start listening to this episode of the PVD Cast, I want to just chat at you real quick about Stitcher Radio. I've been very vocal about being very proud to have the PVD Cast on Stitcher Radio, and if you're already listening to this particular episode on Stitcher Radio, you know I'm speaking the truth. You know how awesome it is. It is a free app that is easily downloadable to any tablet, any Android, any iPhone. And you can listen anytime, anywhere, even without Wi-Fi or cell connection. Stitcher is an award-winning app that brings you all the news, all the entertainment, all the wrestling, all the whatever you want to listen to. There's probably a podcast on Stitcher Radio for it. So folks, if you haven't already downloaded the app, go to Stitcher.com. They'll tell you where you can get it, or just go to your app store and download it. And then you'll be able to catch up on all of the podcasts that you love, even mine, the PVD Cast. So, with that being said, Stitcher Radio, it's the place to be, it's the place to get your podcasts. Go on over to Stitcher.com or check out your app store and download the app. And with that, thanks for listening to this edition, this new episode of the PVD Cast. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast, the only podcast that's brought to you live and indirectly from Providence, Rhode Island, via the capital city of Columbus, Ohio. And my guest tonight is a man that many people have not heard from in a very long time, but a guy that goes way, way back with yours truly. The new hotness, Todd Richards. How you doing, hotness?
I'm great, John. You know, I appreciate the opportunity to come on and chat with you a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to admit that before we started recording this podcast, I admitted to you that I've become kind of that guy now where I do not, unfortunately, get to touch base with all of my friends. You being one of them, yeah. And if it wasn't for Facebook, I would have no idea whether you were dead, alive, or whatnot. It's sad. It's sad, man, because I don't know. I've always thought that I've been blessed to have really good friends. And it makes me, you're not the only one. There's several other folks that fall into that category. I don't know, man.
Well, you know, I would say you're not the only one, because I'm guilty of the same thing as well. And my wife even gets mad at me. She's like, you need to go make friends. I'm like, busy. Yeah. Things going on. Sometimes you forget there are other people outside of your kids and your wife and, you know, mom and dad still. And so you're not the only one.
Oh, good, man. Good. Because that makes me feel better about myself. So
I'm glad I could be a little confidence booster for you.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, let's go back a ways. All right. Let's talk about how you got started in the crazy business of professional wrestling.
All right. I got started with Bull Miller at the IWA. I saw a commercial, got on the website, called the next day, and I was there within a week. Okay. Very excited. The guy that ended up starting to train me was actually Carlton Kaz, or James Avery, as people know him.
Okay.
Now, and then I was working at Polaris at Spencer Gifts, and I met Jeremy. You remember Jeremy? The he's the gay one that moved a whole bunch.
Oh yeah, BJ Cummins. Yes, thank you. Okay, BJ Cummins.
Yes,
okay.
And I actually worked with him at Spencer's.
You really had me baffled for a minute. Yeah. I'm like, what? Who? Okay, all right. BJ Cummins.
He told me, "Oh, we've got a wrestling promotion." It was a backyard deal.
Okay.
And I met Jeff because they were renting a ring from Jeff. And then, you know, after talking to Jeff, I started going out there and making the weekly hour and 20-minute drive one way.
Yeah, to Coshocton.
To Coshocton. I know you've been there a few times.
Many times. I think my car knows how to go. I think it would be like Kit. Like, I wouldn't even need to tell it.
You know, that would have made it a much easier trip.
What, if we had Kit?
Yeah. I know, you just be like autopilot. Hey, go to Jeff's in Coshocton. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, and then you just take a nap.
Hey, well, but wait a minute. Now, wait. So you started in the IWA.
Yes.
Okay. So did you ever have any matches in the IWA?
I did. Okay. I had one or two. Because Bull really had this big thing about not working for anybody else.
Uh-huh.
And you remember the PWC.
I do, because we need to talk about the PWC.
Yes.
Because that's where we met.
Yeah. And
so, but go ahead, carry on.
And then when I said that I wanted to go do that, and he had a conniption fit, and I was done. Hmm. And he felt betrayed, and I was like, well, you know what? I'm not in this for him.
Right.
And, you know, everybody's kind of out for their own, and I wasn't trying to step on any toes, but I was new to the business. I needed to expand the people that I talked to, the places that I worked, if I really ever wanted to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So,
did Bull really like the fact that you are a bigger dude? You know, was that one of his, like, that's why he didn't want you to go? Because, you know, you're...
Well,
in comparison to the rest of the roster at that time, or no?
I could never quite read Bull. And I think that he had so much personal stuff going on that quite often he just let that consume him and he took it out on everybody else. Hmm. So I think if he really thought about it, he'd realize how big of a mistake he made. Not with me, but I know he did similar things with many, many, many guys around Columbus that could have really helped develop a promotion in Columbus. But, you know, he wanted to be stubborn, so... It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
So, okay, PWC, we're going to go take a trip down memory lane.
Oh, good Lord.
To the first time that I met you.
Okay.
Newark. We were out in Newark. There was this show, the PWC, the Pro Wrestling Coalition. Oh, excuse me, Premier Wrestling Coalition.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry. Premier Wrestling Coalition. It came in right during FIW. And in fact, FIW folded, and so PWC was the only game in town other than the IWA.
Yep.
So it was out in Newark.
Was it that building where you had to carry the ring like up?
Yeah,
huge
upstairs. Which everybody hated. Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Oh. So yeah, it was like upstairs.
That was awful.
It was. Although as a side note, do you know? And I'm going to name drop. Do you know who was on that show that ended up? You know,
Mercedes?
Yeah, Mercedes.
Yeah.
Ended up being Jillian Hall later on.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Because I remember Albie, what the hell? Your Commodore Slane. I forget what the hell his wrestling name was. Albie Dam.
Yeah, Albie Dam. Come on, you can't remember that. Well, that's the best.
He was a roommate of mine
that's
for like
true.
6 or 7 months.
That's true.
But
we can talk about that in a minute.
Oh, good. You don't even want to know. But, he told me about Mercedes and Richard Weed hooking up a couple of times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, well, that's great.
Okay.
Got a much different opinion of her.
Well, I don't know. Hey, man. I'm not going to judge. Whatever. Well,
but, you know, I mean, I don't know. When you see, like Richard Weed, real greasy-looking dude. And,
well, that's true.
You know, that, you're like...
He was not a handsome fella.
No. He's just one of these scrawny little guys.
Yeah. But in all due respect, though, I mean, she did not quite look like Jillian Hall at that particular time. If you read between the lines, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So.
Well. Yeah.
Okay, but back to that particular show. I remember, wasn't it? You were booked in a 4-way dance or a 3-way dance or was it a tag match? Because there was a lot of people in the match. That's all I remember.
Got me.
Okay.
I mean.
Well, I remember, I go back, introduce myself, and I said to you, I need stats, you know, whatnot, and you told me, Hot Atlanta, you know, 274, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I think for some odd reason, somebody asked me to ask you for music, which you said you didn't have any, right? And you said, I go, you don't have any, and you said to me, he goes, tell the guy to play something that's rap.
Yeah.
And I went up there, and I swear to God that I went up there and I told the guy, which, by the way, the setup was, I kid you not, a 5-disc Sony CD changer. That's what they had up there.
Awesome.
Yeah, not a computer. I go, hey, for Todd Richards, he said, play something rap. And he played what?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
No.
Oh, man.
No, we'll lost it.
It was something. I want to say it was New Kids on the Block.
Oh, my God.
It was either that or Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. And I remember, like, you came out, you were mad about it.
What?
And you thought I had something to do with it, which I was like, I don't have anything. I did not. I told the guy to please him with rap. I don't know. Because first of all, I mean, logically, I didn't know you well enough to pull a prank on you.
Yeah.
And secondly, I mean, I still was only 8 months in the business, 9 months in business. I was not ornery enough to do that.
Oh,
so,
man,
didn't remember that?
Yeah. You know, now that you say something, I. Maybe, like, in the back of my mind a little bit, yeah.
I actually think it was Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. I think it was.
Well, and me, I was young and probably a little bit of a hothead, and I know that. And I, you know, I often apologize for things that I did when I was younger, but, you know, that's too funny. I don't remember it.
Actually, not to take the spotlight off of you for a minute, but no. That show was also memorable because it was the first time I had to actually interact with Big Money D. Because I was the hatchet man for Big Money D and FIW.
Okay.
And I was really nervous. I guess Mark Stone took advantage of my naive nature at that particular time.
Yeah.
And somehow Big Money D called me at my apartment on the apartment phone, the landline.
Yeah.
Because Mark Stone didn't book him for a match in some show. And he was like, hey, man, it's Big Money D. I'm like, okay. And he was like, Mark won't return my calls. I've emailed him. He won't email. I'm like, okay. He goes, what's going on? I was like, I don't know. And so I called Mark. And Mark was like, I don't want to use him. I don't think he's very good. I don't want to use him. I'm like, okay. He goes, call him back and get rid of him.
Wait, why you?
I think this was his, like, let's see what this kid's got. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
Man.
Hotness. I was like, fuck, what? I got to call this guy back?
Yeah.
So I called him back, and I was like, hey, man, I got a hold of Mark. And he said he's not going to use you for the show. Why not? I don't know, man. He just said he wasn't going to use you. He didn't tell me why. And so I was kind of nervous because, you know, 3 or 4 months go by and now I'm booked on the show and I saw him and I'm like, oh, shit, man.
Damn.
But I give him credit. He walked up to me and he was like, hey, man, I know you had nothing to do with it. You were just following orders and whatnot. He goes, it's cool. I'm like, well, cool, man, because I said, that's exactly what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and it's a damn shame that Stone sounds like every other shady used car salesman promoter that you usually see in this business. And I don't know. It ruins what the independent scene could be.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it could be great. Vince kind of ruined it for everybody nationally. But,
sure, right, yeah.
You know, you could still... If you had decent people, you'd probably still do pretty damn well as far as, you know, drawing and...
And you're seeing that. I mean, you've seen that. I mean, you know, to be honest, PWG in California does very well as an independent.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, throughout history, you've kind of seen that. I agree with you. I just, you know, I also think that a lot of times in terms of Columbus, I think we compete. Columbus has so much to offer entertainment-wise. Then it makes it hard for indie wrestling.
Yeah.
I think because you have to compete with the Ohio State Athletics. You have to compete with the Crew. Now you have to compete with the Blue Jackets.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's also one of the things I've talked about many times is it's hard to, for an indie promotion, it's hard to compete with those other items.
Well, you know? I think a big issue too is you don't have people that are willing to branch themselves out as far as who was calling radio stations.
Right.
Who was really trying to reach out and make things happen.
Right.
Everybody just expected that you put up a few flyers, then people would show up.
Yeah.
And that's, it's not what you can do. And, I mean.
You can do that in a small, run-dumb town, let's be honest.
Yeah, like Coshocton.
Well, no, yeah, I mean, yeah. No disrespect to Coshocton. No disrespect to Coshocton whatsoever.
No.
Love the town. I love going there. The fans are great. But it is a small town.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you go there and you look around, you see that your entertainment options are somewhat limited unless you go somewhere else.
It's kind of funny, living out in Plain City now. This lady that my wife knows and we've gotten to know real well, her and her husband, before they moved to Plain City, lived in Coshocton.
Really?
Yeah, and I told them. I said, yeah, you know, I used to go to Coshocton all the time for wrestling. And she's like, oh, yeah, we heard of that. And
I was like, oh, yeah, we're from, we yeah. know, we like, know.
Good God, Jeff's like a hero out there, like, you know, Coshocton's son, Jeff. Cannon.
So PWC, when did you quit working with them? Do you remember? How many?
I
know there wasn't that many shows to begin with. There was like four or five, I think.
I think I worked
every single one.
If not the first one, I do remember because I was at Crooksville outside of Zanesville.
I think they ran a show there. I did not work that one. I think so.
I was at that one. Then there was one in Reynoldsburg that I worked.
They had a shitty building in Zanesville that used to be PWI. Or no, I think FIW ran that. My bad. Police Athletic League.
The Powell Building.
The Powell Building.
I just remember seeing advertisements for it.
Oh, dude, it was in a rough part of town.
Was it?
Yeah. It was.
Damn. Yeah, so I remember at least working three shows.
Okay.
You know, the one in Newark.
And so then you just moved on because they were done?
I saw what Jeff had. Jeff really does have a nice setup. I don't know what it looks like now, but especially back then.
Oh, yeah.
You know, training-wise, it was the best that I had seen.
Sure.
Out there, especially with two rings in the same area.
Building, yeah.
I mean, it was... So I said I was going to, you know, kind of dedicate myself to going out there because it was... the best opportunity around. I mean, I wasn't going to go to Cincinnati and train.
Right.
Because I'd have been paying out the rear end on top of driving all the way down there.
Right.
So, yeah. Then I just got started up with Jeff and OCW came to be.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And you were pretty successful as a solo competitor, but you reached your pinnacle of your success as a tag team wrestler. You want to talk about Team Hotness?
Team Hotness.
With Cruz Sangria.
It was funny.
Which, as a side note, I saw him not long ago. He was in my gym.
Really?
Yeah.
Nick is quite a character. it was hilarious because, you know, Nick came into the gym and I was looking around and I saw him, Jeff, giving his tryout and all that. I was like, Jeff, I want him. I want a tag partner because I knew it was probably going to sound very egotistical to say, but he looked the part, but I didn't think he was going to be able to verbalize the part
sure.
to really
right.
kind of
right.
make people hate him. So I knew that he could be the true muscle to the team, and I could be the mouthpiece.
Right.
And that's when I pitched the whole idea of, you know, Team Hotness and just those arrogant jerks that, you know, kind of parade around going, you know, look at me, I'm beautiful.
Right, yeah.
And
right.
that's... Yeah. And it actually ended up happening that Nick Cruz showed us where my wife and I would end up living after that because we lived in the same apartment complex.
Really?
Yeah, in Canal. And Nick was literally like our Kramer. He would just show up all the time. I mean, just at odd-ass times, too. Like, Jennifer and I would be at work. We'd come home and Nick would be sitting on our couch eating chips or something.
Did he have a key? You gave him a key?
You know what? He didn't. You go to his apartment and I kid you not, there was a couch and a bed.
And that was it?
That was it. Because his girlfriend had just moved out prior to that. Okay. And there was a whole big thing. So, you know, my wife can cook. So she's like, well, you know, if you come over, I'll make sure, you know, you get food. So he'd give money and...
Nice.
Buy extra groceries. It's like,
all right.
He'd just show up at odd-ass times. It's like, Nick, just give us a little bit of warning.
Yeah, you're like, hey, man, I was hoping to get lucky tonight, and you're here. Get out.
Yeah, I'd have put a damn chair on the door, too. Like, dude, it's not happening, man. But, Nick
yeah,
was a very
right,
good
sure.
guy.
Yeah.
Nick was very coddled by his mom. And okay. that's why Nick kind of never grew up out of that.
Really?
Where he would still, show up at people's houses, I assume, if he's got somebody else that will buy groceries and cook for him. He's probably 36, 37 at this point, but you'd never know it.
Well, I ran into him, I think it was about a year ago at my gym.
Yeah.
And I just talked to him. A guy tapped me on the shoulder, and I turned around. I'm like, holy shit. I was like, dude, I haven't seen you in like 6 or 7 years, you know?
Yeah.
And so we started talking, and he talked about he was training for MMA, and then he got hurt doing MMA. And so he was living up here in Westerville.
Yeah.
I was like, that was cool. But then I never saw him ever again, like at the gym. Like, I don't know if he quit the gym or what happened, but he just disappeared. Supposedly lived around the corner from where the gym is.
Yeah.
So I've never seen him since then.
Well, it's hard telling with him.
But you guys had success in the ring.
Yeah, no. We really did. And
yeah.
Nick's ego kind of got the best of him a little bit, I think, as far as started hanging around with the wrong people.
Sure, right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that kind of created a little bit of, actual kind of tension, because he'd be kind of a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Still, love the guy to death. But I was like, dude, you're being kind of an ass. But I appreciated the time with him, because it was the only time I held a title in wrestling.
The OCW tag team titles.
And right? It was fun, because I believe we worked, Wes and...
Yeah, the Rootin' Tootin' Buckaroos.
Yes.
Yeah, you worked them a lot.
Uh-huh.
How was it working with those guys? Yoder and GQ.
You know what? It wasn't bad. Those guys were, when they were sober, it was actually pretty good. I do believe a couple of times back then that they were at least...
A little bit under the influence?
Yeah.
A little bit? Okay.
Yeah, which it never led to any injuries, which, you know, again, that's fine as long as it didn't lead to any injuries.
Right.
I mean, I could tell you about one where I thought I was going to die, and you saw it when, it wasn't brain damage, because he's the one that passed away. Who was his partner?
Deranged.
When Deranged sat on my head.
Yes.
It was like the third... OCW show.
Yes.
And he went up and just...
Yeah, it was at the old armory.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and it was like a tag match. It a tag match?
It was Brain Damage and Deranged.
Against you, and it wasn't Cruz, it was somebody else. I can't remember who it was.
I don't know. I can't remember either, but yeah.
No, probably because he sat on your goddamn head. Well,
the only thing I remember is I believe Matt Mason was sitting right next to you.
Yeah.
Because I fell out of the ring after that, and I remember Matt just kind of standing up like, dude, are you all right? Like, asking me, because I was like, I think I shook my head or said yes. Or something.
Yeah, because he went for a leg drop. For those folks at home, he went for a leg drop from the second rope and then just miscalculated and sat right on your head.
Oh, it was, yeah.
I do remember that.
And it's funny. We have a picture of my wife, me, and our oldest son, Cole, when he was like 2 or 3. And I actually have a mark right on my head, like right on my forehead from where he hit, and it like rubbed into the mat.
Oh, man.
So, like a bruise / mat burn or whatever. When you go to Walmart for your family pictures, there's not a whole lot of touching up that gets done. So, I always have that picture to kind of remind me of my exploits in wrestling.
Uh-huh.
So.
Well, you know, again, I don't want to bring up a bad topic, but you also were involved in another injury situation, if you will, with a very young Robbie Starr.
Yes.
Was one of the scariest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, my years of it, is that he went to go moonsault from the top rope out onto the floor to both you and Cruz, and somehow he misjudged a little bit.
Instead of coming, like, because I guess we probably should have looked at it or done it in a ring so that we could see how he would go. I always envision, like, Sabu would go back, more back.
Right, then up and out. Yeah.
He would push himself. And Robbie just went straight up and off to the right.
Yeah.
And it was everything I could do. Maybe I shouldn't have tried to catch him, but I dove. And the only thing I remember is like hooking his leg, one or two of his legs, and him hitting the floor with the most sickening thud. Yeah. I mean, it was... I just sat there.
That, thankfully, he was all right.
Yeah, I just sat there and thought, scary. Holy shit.
I think that that was one of the most scariest. Well, that was the scariest, and I have a story from a time that I went to NWF to fill in down there with now Machine Gun Carl Anderson, but yeah. It was Tiny Tim, and at the time he was going by Chad Allegra. They had a situation similar to that where Tiny Tim tried to do the like the leaping Lanny head scissors, you know, where you're off to the side, and flipped up over the top rope by accident and landed straight on his head.
Oh,
and that was pretty damn scary too, because he, you know,
yikes.
But that Robbie that night Robbie that was a rough one.
Well, because I've never heard. I think there was probably like 250 people in the room, and you could have heard a pin drop.
Yep,
it was so dead silent. I know people heard me because I got right in his ear. I'm like, dude, are you okay? I knew he wasn't okay, but like, are you conscious?
Yeah,
kind of thing. Are you all right?
Yeah.
And to Robbie's credit, he's like, throw me back in. I'm sitting there thinking, holy shit, this is bad. Because none of us at that point knew how bad he was bleeding.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And he got in the ring, and I looked at him, and I thought, oh, my God. Because it looked like somebody had taken a bowling ball and just hit him as hard as they could with it right in the eye. Like, right there. And it just...
And he was spurting blood all over the place because he had hit his head on that floor.
Yeah, it busted him up. I had that white spots on my... on my tights, and it was pink afterwards. Mm-hmm. And the worst part about it, what really kind of sucked, is I go back through the curtain, first person I see, Lexi Lane, because they were dating at the time.
Right.
And she looked at me like I murdered him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the most uncomfortable things, because I felt so terrible. Because it was like, I would never, ever, ever, ever do that on purpose. Whether or not Robbie and I got along, which I didn't think Robbie and I ever had a terrible relationship. I think we didn't see eye to eye on things, but that's people.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah,
I would never have done that on purpose for him to hurt himself. And Ashley and him at the time, and I understand the frustration and everything, were convinced that we did it on purpose. That Nick and I just purposely missed him and we let him get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was even... I don't think it ever got settled until the JoJo retirement. It was that long.
That was a good four years or five years later.
Yeah.
Huh.
Because I finally, like, talked to him. I'm like, dude, you know, how are you? What's good?
Yeah, right.
Because he's still, you know, he's got a permanent reminder.
Yeah, he does as well.
Of it. And you know, I think things finally got ironed out as far as, like, you know, dude, I would never have done that to you on purpose. Mm-hmm. Trust me, I wouldn't. I may be a hothead, but I'm not an asshole.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, gotcha. Most definitely. And that's very unprofessional anyway. So.
Yeah. Luckily, everything was all right. But yeah, that was really, really scary.
So, I also remember, switching gears, because we kind of got a little dark there, didn't we? With all these injuries, like, people are listening at home going, Jesus, what the hell am I listening to? One guy falls on his head, another guy busts his face open. Anyway, another guy sits on his head. Anyways, I remember that we used to do these shows out in Stralsburg, Ohio, for OCW.
Yes.
Okay, which, great venue.
Mm-hmm.
But it sucked to get there because there's no easy way to get there. For those that don't know, Stralsburg's out near New Philadelphia, Ohio.
Yeah.
So the quickest and easiest way was to drive all the way through Coshocton on 16, all the way to 77, and then take 77 north a couple of miles, and there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Was legit a 3 to 3.5 hour drive, depending on if you got stuck in traffic or whatnot.
Yes,
it sucked. But I do remember a particular car ride home.
Me, you, and Adam?
Yeah, where we're driving. Yeah. We decided for some odd reason to entertain ourselves by having you stick your very large ass out in the window. Do you remember?
Yeah, I think I did. Yeah.
Papa Spurf Keith Smith was who we were passing. And I have no idea why we decided to do it, but I think Adam said something. You stuck your ass right out that passenger side window.
Yeah.
And what? I just laid on the horn and beep, beep, beep. And Papa's Roach was pissed about that, too.
And that's why I think we did it, because we knew Keith would get all bent out of shape over it, because he didn't know how to take a damn joke.
Well,
dude, relax.
But then he did play the trump card of, my kids weren't there. They didn't want to see Hotness's ass. I'm like, well, nobody wants to see Hotness's ass, with all due respect.
Well, alright, let's be honest, though, too. It was probably, what, like 12, 1 o'clock? 2
yeah,
o'clock
it was god, yeah, it was god-awful
so,
late at night.
Let's take a bet on whether or not kids were sleeping at
well,
that
that's
point.
True.
Because my ass would have been passed out if I was younger and it was that time of night. I'd have been sleeping.
Yeah.
So, yeah, kids may have been in the car, but I'm going to roll the dice and say they were out.
So. All right, I'll ask him next OCW show, April 12th. I'm gonna ask Bob Smurf if he remembers that. I'll put him on the spot.
Let me ask you this.
All right.
Speaking of Strasburg,
yeah,
Hacksaw.
The Hacksaw Jim Duggan story. Which one do you want?
Well,
the one where he damn near killed me.
Well,
in the front row.
Well, that and do you? I thought you were sitting with me. I was sitting there in the corner in the back because it's just that big open room.
Yeah, yeah,
and. He was under the influence of a couple of things at that point.
Yes.
And this is a story I tell to everybody. He was running around the back area naked.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
hey brother, you got any tape? And he's like standing a foot from me. And I'm sitting down. I've got Hacksaw Jim Duggan's manhood like right by my face. And I'm just like, no.
You know what?
I don't have any tape.
You now have made Adam Michaels very happy because he laments the time at Hopewell School that he happened to turn around while sitting down. And he goes, I turn right around and there's Hacksaw's dick just right there flapping in the wind. So he goes, I saw a WWE Hall of Famer's dick.
I would tell everybody how awkward it was because I'm sitting there going, I watched this guy as a little kid. And here he is, right in front of me, naked, asking me for tape while he's inebriated.
I think that might have been the same night that he damn near killed me.
Was that
think,
where I he smashed that Mr. 8x10 picture with the 2x4?
Yeah. You know what? I don't even know. I think I may have mentioned this on this podcast, but I'll retell the story. So we have him booked against a guy named Mr. 8x10 Michael Cruz, who was from like Wheeling, West Virginia.
Yeah.
And brought him up and... Mr. 8x10 had this, you know, I'm a cocky heel. I got this giant picture of myself. That's how arrogant I am. And he's got it in this framed picture. And so Jeff had decided what we'll do is we're going to have Mr. 8x10 come out and, you know, demand some promo time and whatnot. And I worked in. I go, hey, what if I don't know that he's coming out? We're just going to go to intermission. He interrupts me. And everybody liked it. And I said, okay, he could take me, push me to the back. He grabs my lapels. He's going to clock me. I said, and then Hacksaw comes to the rescue. And then the match can just start from there, right before intermission. And everybody liked it. And I guess Jeff went and pitched the Hacksaw, and he said it was fine. So out comes Mr. 8x10. He's got the framed picture, and he slides it in the ring, and he gets in the ring. How dare you, blah, 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 runs me down, takes me to the back. Grabs me by the lapels, cocks back his fist, and then, here comes Hacksaw. Who, first of all, throws that fucking 2x4, like, up in the air. Like, and I've never seen a 2x4 have hang time like that. Like, it will took forever to drop. I swear, I'm looking at a Hotness going, fuck, where's... I don't want to get out of the way of it, so I don't want to, like... I'm like, I don't know what to do. And it finally lands, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Cruz bails. Michael Cruz bails.
Yeah.
He gets in the ring, and he goes, you grab that picture! And I'm like, okay. So I grab the picture of Mr. 8x10, and I'm look, and he goes, hold it! I'm like, okay. And I'm holding it. And then, at this point that I'm holding it, here's Hotness where I knew I was in trouble. Because I'm like, oh, in my mind, I'm going, oh, shit, no. He rears back, and he hits that picture. And the only thing I could do is like, oh, I'm going to get cut to shreds. I'm going to go to the hospital because this glass is coming everywhere. That I literally like just, and I know, again, I'm doing this physically and nobody can see it at home, but I kind of turned my head and closed my eyes. He hit it so hard it knocks it out of my hand and glass goes and showers the first three rows at
Strasburg. And I'll tell you what, Shark Boy was back there because he was on the same show.
Right.
Freaking out.
Because his kids were in the front row.
Yes. And I was like, oh my God.
So then total kayfabe breaks because Haxel's got to apologize to everybody for breaking, you know, the picture. But the best comment is Adam heard him as he came back through the curtain go, hey, who the hell brings glass to the ring?
You know what, dude? I remember hearing that.
My retort would have been, who the hell's the dumbass that decides to swing a 2x4 at it?
No kidding. Dude, that, you know what? And you clarified something because I had always thought he propped it up in the corner.
No, he made me hold it.
You were holding
it. And I'm a dumbass. I'm like, I'm holding it. And literally within seconds of holding it, I'm like, I wonder, oh, shit. Like, I just turn. I'm like, oh, you know, and there's nothing I can do.
No.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that, you know what though? That'd have been really funny. You just dropped it. Screw you, dude.
Yeah, and bolted, ran out the doors.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
Dropped the mic like an old MC.
Yeah. Oh, see ya.
Peace.
Who breaks glass? Right. That is probably the funniest. Like that was as far as guys that I grew up watching and then ended up having around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the funniest.
That was.
The coolest one, and I believe you were there, because it was those Bobby Fulton shows.
Oh, yeah.
Out at the State Fair.
Yeah.
But, hey, Buff Bagwell was like,
oh, yeah,
my guy.
Yes.
Back in the WCW days. So to be able to work something with him, because I ended up being Bobby Fulton's, like, manager, but he was some...
He had the mask gimmick of the masked sheik.
Yes. I got to be the mouthpiece.
Yeah, I was on that show. I remember that was out in Urbana. That was good.
I believe you were... Yeah, we rode together, I'm pretty sure.
I know we did. Yeah.
And it just, I was pumped. I was like, oh, yeah. I'm working with...
Well, I've worked a bunch of shows with Buff Bagwell, man. And Buff has always been a good dude. Mm. Always been a good dude. Did you hear what he's doing right now?
Yeah, I did. And I even looked at it. He's a gigolo.
He is. Mad props to him, man.
Hey, you know what?
You can get that. Go ahead, man.
Hey, my thing was, with him, I never thought he got a fair opportunity. Now, yeah, that match that he had was bad.
Oh, in WWE? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he was such a good person at just getting people worked up as far as...
He knew how to work.
Yeah.
End of story.
The kind of heel that he was. And
sure.
I felt like, man, of all the people, he didn't get a fair shake.
Sure.
You know, you get people like Lance Storm around. Now, Lance was funny on occasion, but...
Well, we'll disagree on that. Okay, we'll disagree on that. If you're comparing Lance Storm and Buff Bagwell, okay, work rate. Lance wins.
Kicks his ass, yeah.
Right. Overall entertainment, somebody who could talk, somebody who could do it, sure, Buff Bagwell, I give that to you.
It was probably a bad, maybe... Canyon.
Okay, Canyon.
Better.
All right, okay. All right.
Know,
well, again, you know, but I mean, I have lots of Buff Bagwell stories. I mean, from the many times, because, I mean, let's be honest, he's been a frequent OCW star. He's come many, many times.
Nice. Wow.
And
I'll just never forget the beer that was in his bag. And that's the one thing I've noticed about all the old guys is, and it really kind of opened my eyes, John, is to see how much they're holding on to it.
Yeah, some of them are, man.
And
some
just of them are. The drugs, and it's really easy to see why a lot of these guys don't live very long.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
To be quite honest, after seeing Hacksaw, I'm wondering how the hell he's still upright.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah.
But that's just the ugly side of the whole thing. But yeah, no, working with Buff was cool, and the coolest thing though that happened, I don't know if you were there. Did you go to the Shasta show in Canton where he had Brett?
No, I did not get to go to that one because true story, Adam Michaels filled in for me.
Did he?
Yeah, because I heard because I was out of town for something and I had been already like I couldn't get out of it. Like I forget the hell where I was at. But I remember, yeah, Adam went.
Yeah, meeting Brett was probably one of the coolest things. Because, you know, it's just somebody you don't ever imagine. But it was right after the stroke.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking really to anybody.
Who else was on that? Because it was Brett and a couple other people.
Bull Buchanan.
There you go.
One thing I'll remember about that is Bull worked the battle royal that we were all in. And the biggest reason most of us went was to go meet Brett and be on, you know, just kind of be around there.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. I got knocked out of the ring, and just as I get knocked out, you hear like the Right to Censor music come on, because that was the Bull Buchanan gimmick he was working. And he comes sprinting down, and there was this kid that had been a loudmouth in the back, and Shasta just told Bull to fuck this kid up. Okay.
Teach him a lesson.
Teach him a lesson. Uh-huh. So Bull did, and this kid came back, and his teeth were not the cleanest anyway. Uh-huh. So Bull clotheslined him right in the mouth.
Oof.
And he came back, his mouth, just blood everywhere. I was like, holy shit. Wow. Yeah.
I do remember that, because I think the next time that Shasta ran one of those shows, it was Mick Foley, Jimmy Snuka, and Honky Tonk Man were the three that he had up there. Because I went to that one, and I did not work it. I just went and hung out, because I got to meet Mick Foley. That's the only reason why I did it.
How was he?
Mick Foley was very good, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, Mick Foley was real cool, real laid back. And it was nice. It was neat to meet him. So, you know. But no, I also remember that because that was also, I believe, that show with Bret Hart in Canton. That was also where we all met a very gorgeous young lady who was also a ring announcer, too, up there. I believe her name was Julie. She was absolutely a complete perfect 10.
Yeah.
And because she was friends with Scotty Sabre.
Oh, good God. There's a name I haven't heard in forever.
Really? Scotty was awesome, man.
Yeah.
You talk about a guy that never got a shot, man. That's a dude right there.
Yeah.
He was damn good in the ring, and he was not bad on the mic.
Oh, yeah, because with it, he was a WCW at the end.
At the end, yes. He was a WCW guy at the end. Yes. Yeah.
So nobody, like, who?
Yeah, right. Who? We're not keeping this guy. No, yeah, right.
I just remember, like, trying to support the dude because he went into acting and he was some cop on some alien show.
It was One Tree Hill.
Well, no, it wasn't that one.
It wasn't?
It was like Invasion or something. And I waited the whole hour. And you never really saw him because it was the very end of the episode. It's like him and three other dudes running on a beach towards
But
the
he park. Was also on One Tree that Hill,
he
too. Will.
He was, but I never saw those.
Because I remember I watched an episode of One Tree Hill because he said he was going to be on it. And I watched it, and literally, he was like in the background for like 5 seconds. And I also was mad at him because I sat through an hour of One Tree Hill. That show was awful.
You know, I probably in capital letters, too. Dude.
I was like, God damn you, Scotty.
that's bad. Wow. Yeah. Oh man. I tell you what though, you brought up like the Honky Tonk Man. I think he was the one guy that just I won't say he was a jerk, but just you know he was kind of thought more of himself than everybody he was
really?
Around. Because the comment he made that I thought, man, come on, dude. He's like, well, you're not really a professional till you get paid for it. I understand where he's coming from.
Sure.
But you're sitting here with a bunch of guys that want to reach that level.
So that was a dick thing to say?
Yeah,
I just thought
it was kind of a dick thing to say.
Well, I think he's unfiltered because, I mean, I remember at that Canton show, he was talking a lot about, I mean, he was running in his mouth about a lot of things, but they were hilarious. I mean, he was picking on Lawler, he was picking on Dundee, he was picking on Vince, he was picking on Jake the Snake Roberts. I mean, he was just
letting it all
he was. So I think he's just that type of guy that maybe he speaks without thinking, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't take away like, oh, he's the biggest asshole. I just thought, man, you know, this wasn't the best. Him and Billy Gunn seemed okay.
I think I will say this, that the last time he came back to OCW about 2 or 3 years ago, he was a much more relaxed guy, and he was much easier to talk to and hang out with.
Yeah.
Yeah, than the first time. Yeah, the first time that we had him, he was a little bit uptight,
Yeah, I think it was right after he had been released or whatever.
Yeah.
And, I understand. I mean, you're trying to adjust to these small shows.
Yeah. I used to be at Madison Square Garden, and now I'm here in Lexington, Ohio.
Yeah, I'm at the Hopewell School with 300 people.
Right, yeah. Gotcha.
So, I understood it. I'm trying to think of other people that I can't remember everybody.
Well, let me ask you this. Who it doesn't matter if they were a, quote, name or not.
Yeah.
Favorite opponent? Favorite guy you got to work?
Matt.
Matt Mason?
Mason. Because you know what? It was the only title shot that I ever had as a singles wrestler.
After you had turned face.
After I had turned face. Okay. All
right.
And it was against Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of helped walk me through it because I don't believe we were the main event, but we were right up there.
Yeah.
And that was like the deepest into a card that I had worked.
Really?
And yeah, and I mean, I know Matt makes fun of me for it, but like having the big noggin, he wanted me to do a headbutt off the top, and I'm scared to death of heights. Scared. Shitless. So I got up on the top, and I more or less fell.
I think I knew it. That was in Newark, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I remember.
And he pulled
that.
The belt up, and you know, I hit the belt or whatever. And it was a pleasure working him because he wants to make everybody look good.
Yeah,
it's not he's not worried about himself. He was a class act. So yeah, that was my favorite dude to work with.
Okay,
honestly,
cool. Was there anybody you never got to work with that you would want to work with?
Let me think. You know, no.
Really?
I can't think of anybody offhand that I thought would be fun to work. Matt, I think, probably would have been that only guy.
Okay.
Because, you know, when I started coming around and FIW folded, then a lot of those guys, like, stopped wrestling.
Sure, yeah.
Or they went, like, Marcus Dillon, who... Didn't he go to Florida at that time?
Yeah, he went to Florida. And then guys went to PWC or they went elsewhere because that's what they had to do.
And that, you know, a lot of those guys took off. So it was really mad.
Okay.
So, you know, nobody... I think I may have liked to work Jeff a little more.
Okay.
Just to see what I could do and see if he could help me. Because I never thought much of my in-ring skill. I always thought, you know... I would be more of a talker,
mm-hmm.
a guy that could get... Because I seemed like I was pretty good at getting people pissed.
Sure.
I could get people pissed at me. Translating it into the ring, I don't know.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to be there at times.
So you've been out of the game for, what, 7 years now?
Yep.
I mean, you did come back for the 10th anniversary show. You were in the Battle Royal.
Yeah, and I did.
Mean, and you have stated that you really wanted to do that because you felt that when you had, quote, retired. I hate using that term because, as Matt Mason will tell you, Scotty Sabre was famous for saying, retire. It's not like you get a 401k plan and a gold watch. You just quit doing what you're doing. That's You quit. You don't retire. But, okay, so when you decide to hang it up.
Well, when the original plan was, wife was pregnant, my son Ethan was due soon. It was August of that year. And I remember I wrestled Ryan Midnight, and it was like the worst match I had ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I had blown spot after blown spot. I just thought, man, I need to get my head straight and, you know, kid on the way. So I need to stop for a little bit. And then I went to school at Ohio State. And when you got class Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right after work until like 9:30, not much time, so right. I remember calling you and saying, man, it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
And then a while turned into years, and then because I remember pitching that idea to you for a long time, going, man, I got to do like a gimmick battle royal, bring back all these old...
You did pitch that idea quite a while.
Yeah, all these old guys back in, because I thought it would be cool. Not just, I mean, it allowed me to kind of say goodbye on my own terms.
Right.
You know... Because after that, and seeing my son, my youngest son had never seen me in the ring. My oldest son had.
Sure.
But youngest son, I remember just being in the middle of the match, and he's bawling his eyes out. And I felt like the worst dad ever.
Mm-hmm.
I felt terrible. So I said, that's it. I appreciated the opportunity to kind of walk away under my own terms, but...
And so you don't miss it? No regrets?
No, absolutely not.
That's great, because, you know, I think I've said... To you privately as well, you know, I'll say it here publicly. I think that to me is the saddest thing, is that when an individual says, I'm done, and then 4 or 5 months later they come back, or a year they come back, and to me, I don't know why. It just, to me, I feel like when you say you're done and you're cool with that and you can walk away and that you still miss it, but yet you enjoy what you're doing, you know, whether it's with family or you take up another hobby or you're doing something else. I think that's great, man.
I looked at it as I had the dream as a kid to do this.
Yeah.
I chased it. I gave it a legitimate shot. You and I both know it is incredibly hard to even get a look. I chased that dream for several years. It just didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I could walk away with the satisfaction of saying, I wanted to do it. I did it.
You tried to the best of your ability, and it is what it is.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's, I know a lot of people that don't chase dreams that they have, no matter how silly they might seem. But that's a cool thing. I did get laughed at quite a bit as a kid about it, though. Well,
didn't we all?
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. I can say that.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, what do you do now to like keep yourself busy? I mean, besides the family,
what I do now is I actually run this online T-shirt company called In the Gap Shirts.
Okay.
And I got the idea because my grandma was really sick at the time. She was actually she was close to passing away, and I thought, man, I wanted to do something to I wanted to leave my kids a legacy of not like this thing's going to be great and wonderful, but the dad wanted to help other people.
Okay.
Kind of deal.
Yeah.
So I managed to help, do this thing where we make baseball-inspired shirts and sell them, and we give money to charitable causes, whether it's, we've given to Cincinnati Children's, Nationwide Children's. We've given to families who have kids with neuroblastoma.
Okay.
And, just doing that, I don't want to say that, there's a sense of pride, as in it's not just me. There's a whole group of people that actually help me. I mean, there's people in Toronto and Cincinnati and Newport. I mean, I've got people, actually, a lot of places that help bring it all together. And that's a lot of what I've spent my time doing because I've actually gotten a lot of help from the Cincinnati Reds, and that's been really cool because...
you're a big Reds fan to begin with.
Oh, huge Reds fan. So... just got in touch with Sam LaCure, one of the Reds pitchers, and he was all for it. He thought anything that was putting good back into the world, he was all about. And I think that he thought it was neat that I wanted to focus on a guy like him. Everybody knows Joey Votto, Jay Bruce.
Sure, yeah, Brandon the Phillips, big names, right, yeah.
But those big names can't do anything without those other players.
Sure, yeah.
And that's I like Sam Styles, just like a bulldog mentality, kind of getting after it. And, I won't say I've developed a friendship with Sam. We know each other, talk to each other occasionally. But being able, he got tickets for me and my two sons to go down, and we sat with his lovely girlfriend, Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, my son, Ethan, grabs me in the middle of this game, and he's like, Dad, don't you do anything to get between me and Miss Lauren. I'm like, dude,
you are seven.
I was like, he's five at the time.
Oh, okay.
I was like, dude, what are you doing, man? But, I actually met Ryan Ludwig's wife and kids from that. And, so I've kind of gotten in with the wife crowd or the girlfriend crowd. So there's a lot of people that know of In the Gap Shirts.
Okay.
You've got a nice Twitter following, over 1,100.
Do you want to plug those right now?
Oh,
go ahead. Plug them. Go ahead, man.
You can follow us at Twitter at In the Gap Shirts, and we're on Facebook at facebook.com/ITG Shirts.
Cool.
The store is we've kind of fallen behind because last year was kind of rough, but we're really trying to kind of revamp things and push forward.
Okay.
Because we had a failed partnership with I don't know if you've heard of the comedian Josh Sneed.
I have not. Okay. Okay.
Well, he's big time down there. I don't know.
Okay.
But he's got a little T-shirt deal, and we were gonna go partner with them because they had more of a name, and I think they kind of played us.
Okay.
For a fool. So
I got you. I got you. So it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Sense, without.
Yeah.
All the details.
We tried to take a step forward and ended up taking a couple steps back.
Well, that's because,
you live and you learn. And,
right.
Luckily we're still, the good part about it is we're not spending money to exist.
Right, and you know, and you're not, you know, you're doing something good with the money yeah. that you bring back in. So mm-hmm. that's awesome, man. You know, that's awesome.
Cover bills, if there are any, and give the money away. Because it cool. doesn't, you know, I'm not doing it to get rich.
Yeah,
and gotcha. If I was, I'm doing it piss poor job.
Well, since spring training's in session right now, how are the Reds looking this year?
Yeah.
I will confess, I'm not a huge MLB fan, but how are they going
to
look?
Did you listen to the news today?
I did not. I did
not. Aroldis Chapman took a 99-mile-an-hour fastball and got drilled right back in his face.
Oof.
Last night.
Ooh,
like right above his left eye.
Oof.
Yeah, I mean, it hit him flush. And he needs a metal plate in his head.
Well, that's not good.
No, but they say he'll be back by May. All right. I tell you what, if that was me, it'd be a long damn time before I got back on a mound.
Same, like, man.
You know what?
No, I don't think so.
Can I play the outfield?
Yeah, no. Exactly.
Get me as far away from that as I can possibly be. You know what? I don't know. I want to say they're going to do great, but they don't have any real leaders.
Mm.
They have a lot of guys that are good, but nobody that really takes hold of the team. Like, they had Scott Rolen a few years ago.
Right, yeah.
And he was a guy that could snap the locker room back into place. I mean, you probably know, like, with hockey teams, you got to have that one guy, at least,
sure.
that's going to grab everybody and tell them when they're acting stupid
mm-hmm.
and snap them back into shape. And the Reds don't have that.
Mm.
And that's what scares me. Because when things start to go bad, they're going to continue to go bad.
What about the other teams in that division? How do they look?
Who do you think
is coming out of that division? The Central?
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think you could say anybody but the Cardinals until somebody proves them
right, yeah,
differently.
True, yeah.
I mean, Reds fans want to hate the Cardinals, but in reality, Brandon Phillips started the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and well, we want to defend Brandon. Well, you know, I understand why Yadier Molina told him not to touch him. I'm not anybody's bitch. So, hey, the Cardinals just have a class organization from top to bottom. I don't know how they keep doing it. They keep plugging guys in, and they keep being just badasses. So, I think you got to say the Cardinals. I think the Reds are probably going to finish third.
Okay.
You got to put the Pirates up there, too.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
So, I don't know.
But you'll still support them, because you're a true fan.
Yeah.
You're a true fan.
Definitely. Yeah. But I did say that I'm probably not going to frequent games until Brandon Phillips isn't on the team anymore.
Okay.
Right. So, but that's for a whole nother show.
Okay. All right, here we go. Since you mentioned it, I'm gonna ask you this hypothetical question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. In a real life shoot fight,
okay,
who would win between the new hotness Todd Richards and Columbus Blue Jackets coach Todd Richards?
The new hotness Todd Richards would win because you know what? If it had to come to it, I'd be grabbing whatever I needed to put the man down.
Yeah. As a side note, in my phone, I have a plethora of people who are listed in my contacts as their actually wrestling name, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, should I? No. You know what? I'm leaving Todd Richards in that phone because now it looks like I'm some type of badass. Like, I got the ends to the jackets. Like, you know, I don't know who's going to go through my phone and go, oh my God, this guy has Todd Richards?
You know, dude, it is funny because when he came over, I just kept thinking, like, seriously? I thought about, like, mailing him one of my old wrestling shirts.
You should. You should.
And just saying, hey, you know, I was a wrestler, you know, an indie wrestler that went by the name Todd Richards. Here you go, buddy.
Yeah. P.S. There's not going to be a cease and desist order coming anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, it's like, hey, man. It was funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time I hear it, I'm like, I do chuckle
a little bit. Good. I'm glad you do.
you got to know, too, at work, when, like, a few people that know me, when I get angry or I have to get upset with somebody, they say, uh-oh, is Todd Richards going to show up? They use it like my alter ego. And, dude, there are people that call me, like, this old guy at work calls me New Hotness all the time.
Was he a wrestling fan, or just no. He heard from other people?
He just knew about it, and just kind of stuck. It'll be like, oh, hey, hotness. Now, I often wonder what people passing think.
Like, yeah. Ooh, look at these two. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but...
But, you know what, though? Yeah. That is awkward as hell when an older guy's like, hey, hotness. And it's just scrolling by, and you're like, ah, hey, Bill. How's it going? Yes.
Well,
that's funny.
All right. Well, we're getting up here in about an hour. So, Hotness, let's. You want to go ahead and plug it again? The In the Gap shirts.
You can follow us on Twitter at In the Gap Shirts, and we're on Facebook at facebook.com/ITG shirts. You can also email me if you have any questions at Camden, CAMDON, James72@gmail.com. And if you have any questions about ITG, I'll be glad to answer them for you.
Yeah, that's a great cause too, man. I know when you started about 3 years ago or so, I was like, that's really cool, man, that the fact that, you want to do something to give back to the community, for whatever small amount you can give back, That's cool. I like that, man.
Yeah.
That's real cool.
It's been really, really fun to do. Just to see how it helps people even a little bit.
Cool. Well, before I close up shop, I always end every podcast with Orlando's fave. All right, it's something that I think is cool. Something that it's like Oprah's fave, but not as shitty because I'm doing it.
Yes,
not her.
All right.
Okay, man. I found these, and if you want to sample one, I have them right over there on the counter in my kitchen.
Okay,
they're amazing. Benton's Best Cookies, Maple Leaf Cream Cookies.
What?
Wow, dude. You're looking. Dang. You want one, don't you?
You know what?
These things are amazing. Okay, hold on.
I'll try it.
These are amazing.
Wow.
They are amazing.
Okay.
I'm telling you right now.
Maple leaf.
They are made, to describe, they are a kind of a, what would you say, like a vanilla wafer type of cookie that is shaped as a maple leaf, as I do believe they are produced in Canada, with a white cream filling. With a hint of maple. You can smell the maple, right?
No, those are damn good.
See? Exactly. Yeah. They
those are really good.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really good. You are correct, sir. That's very enjoyable.
All right. Like there you go. That's my fave for this episode of the PVD cast. All right. Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you where you can get in touch with me on Twitter at PVDMVP. You can always email me if you prefer, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. And, of course, stop on over to my own personal website, pvdcast.com, and check out not only this episode, but many other episodes. Well, that didn't make any sense because you would be listening to this episode right now. Anyways, you can check out all the old episodes from previous editions of this fine podcast.
Okay.
And so, Hotness... Thanks for coming on, man.
No, dude, I greatly appreciate it. It was fun.
Yeah,
I can't believe it was an hour.
Doesn't it seem like it just goes like that?
Yeah, no,
exactly,
dude,
man.
It does. Anyways, fun times.
Or not some fun times. Nah, it's been good, man. It's been all good. All right. Well, with that, thanks for coming on, man.
You're welcome.
All right, and I will talk at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening, folks.
Big Fun Columbus. What is that, you ask? It's simply the greatest toy store on the face of the planet. And it's right here in Columbus, Ohio. Shimmy on down to 672 North High Street in the Short North. And you can check out all of the various different toys that they have. If you listen to my previous episode of the PVD cast where I, John Orlando, did a complete entire episode from the store, you know that they got everything you could imagine. You need wrestling figures? They got them. You need McFarlane toys? They got them. He-Man? You got it. G.I. Joe? You got it. Star Wars? Legos? Whatever you need, whatever you collect, they got it at Big Fun. And guess what? If they don't have something, they got a wish list. You put it on there, they'll try to get it for you. Man, oh man, you got to go visit the guys and the girls down at Big Fun Columbus. Once again, they're at 672 North High Street in the Short North. You can check them out on Twitter at Big Fun Columbus or simply go to Facebook, facebook.com/Big Fun Columbus. Check it out. Get down there for everything that you need in terms of collecting or, hell, if you just want to go down and relive your childhood like I did, stop on down to Big Fun Columbus and check it out.